I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Oh, hey, listener. Did you ever want to see our engineering show, Magma, where we pretend to be engineers? Well, you can now at sospresents.com and get Magma. Magma. Find it at sospresents.com. Boo 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 boo. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ah, yeah.
See, what I like, Alistair, about hearing you do the intros to the show is that I always feel like I always feel like I make them go a little bit too long. I don't seem to know how to stop. And then sometimes I let you do it. And then I see you also don't know how to stop. And it makes me feel good.
That's great. But if
you're better at stopping them than me. But
if you were to measure the length of our different ones, I think we've got some huge differences between how long we go.
I know, absolutely. I'm not denying that, Alistair. I'd just say that ultimately in heaven we're judged by the standards we set for ourselves, and I think that you'll also be going to hell because I think you'd like yours to be shorter and they're not, and I'd like mine to be shorter and they're not, even though mine are invariably longer than yours. Sure. Is this good conversation to people?
Oh, man, people are going, this is exactly what I came here for.
Yeah, I'm actually getting a lot of positive feedback on Twitter about this conversation right now.
Really? People are...
Yeah, the feed's really lighting up.
People are...
All the lines are full. The board lit up. And we're going to take our first caller.
You know, when you said the lines are full, you made me think of this idea that somebody has had so much cocaine that they actually couldn't have another sniff.
And this is the solution to cocaine addiction, to all forms of addiction, that nobody is exploring, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't snort more cocaine if your nose is already packed full of cocaine.
That's
and
right.
I don't know what they do at the Betty Ford Clinic. I don't know if... Is that a rehab center?
Feels,
do they
sounds,
have an
R&D, feels like it sounds R&D like one.
Department?
Yeah.
I always get the Betty Ford Clinic confused with the Ponds Institute, and I don't know. I feel like maybe Ponds Institute is skincare.
Yeah, I always get Betty Ford mixed up with Betty Crocker.
Mm.
But, you know, maybe because in a way they both make something sweet. They give you freedom. From
yes, go on.
Well, one gives you freedom from addiction, and the other one gives you freedom from that feeling you get when you really want something really bad, and that satisfies your craving.
Mm. they're almost working opposite ends of the Betty spectrum, aren't they?
They're opposite people.
But there's a Betty for every occasion, you know.
You know, Andy, in the mouth of a worse man, that could sound like a bad thing. But in
what?
No, but no, not like, not socially. I just mean like, you know, you could hear that same sentence, let's say in the voice of a guy who is a CEO of some football league.
Oh, right? Yuck!
And he goes, oh. Is a Betty for every occasion, hey? Like that. Suddenly you're like, oh, well, that is dense with grossness.
I don't know. It still feels okay to me. And maybe that's my problem. But also maybe it's the power of the name Betty which is one of the most innocent of all the names. See, name a single dictator who's been called Betty. You can't. And I rest my case.
Betty Mugabe.
Oh, no. Is it Robert? Is that his name? Robert Mugabe. And they call him Betty.
Yeah, because he was one of the... He was one of the sort of backup singers for a guy called Rob.
Rob and the Robettes?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Is Ert the male Et?
I think so. Anyway. I think Ert is the male Et. But if you have Ertet, that's the male Ertet. Female. Female version of the male. Ah. And if you have Etert.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What's that?
This is nothing. Tenet. Tenet. The Christopher Nolan movie I haven't seen.
Yes.
It's actually back-to-back women with an N in there.
Mm. Great.
So Charlie's Angels. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know that classic should we start again?
No, absolutely not. No,
why?
No. Alistair, this is all good.
Is this good?
This is all good. This is like, this is what people come here for, right? Okay. You know, this is when you see you're watching Lego Masters, right? And they drag, I haven't seen Lego Masters, but I'm going to paint a word picture and everybody's going to get on board.
My God.
You drag a big box of old Lego out of the shed.
They don't do
that.
All the
bits there. And you pour it out onto the floor in the living room.
They don't do that either.
And that's what this bit is, right, of the show. The pouring out of the Lego onto the floor. And then we... You know, we scrape through and we sort out the bits that are actually Duplo, and you know, we sort of pick through it and we vacuum up all the bits that are actually mouse shit, and then we put together something that looks a bit like a pirate ship, and that's the show, you know.
Yeah, I see.
It's like word Lego, isn't it true that we've probably discussed this already, but the dictionary is basically your big box of Lego, and then all creative projects are just assembling that Lego.
Yeah, and would you say that conversation over the centuries is the manufacturing process that makes the box of Lego?
Yes, it's organically grown Lego that is refined over the generations.
How many words do you think that are in the dictionary?
Words that are in the dictionary,
Were created by somebody who just thought, fuck it, I'm going to throw this made up word into conversation, and they nailed it. Well, it really stuck. Everybody was like, I like that.
This is the Shakespeare thing, right? That apparently he came up with all these words, and I just don't think that you can do that.
I think he took it from the streets.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was like common parlance.
Oh, so he didn't come up with the words.
I'm not sure. I think that's what I heard, that it was kind of probably words that people used, but that he was like, yeah, I'm gonna write them down in a thing where nobody else uses
these words
this stuff.
That people use. I'm going to use those words.
Yeah.
But everybody said, whoa, that's bold.
But they probably weren't, you know, they probably weren't considered, you know, there would have been a bunch of jerks around who, you know, are dictionary cunts who would keep going, that's not a word, that's not a word, like that.
Mm.
And then Shakespeare used it and they were like, oh, he really made that a word.
Can we have a sketch where it's a dictionary cunt? Heckling an opening night of a Shakespeare play back in the time of Shakespeare.
Right.
And it's, it's just, that's not a word. That's not a word.
Yeah, that's really good.
Probably that's not a word. He'd say that as well. And then he'd also say, it's implausible that a male and a female identical twin could be confused for each other. I find that unlikely. That's the other thing you'd say.
Why aren't there any women in this play? that are played by women, he would also say.
Except for the one that's played by Gwyneth Paltrow, but she's playing a man playing a woman. And so I also find that to be unacceptable.
I don't know why, but I really like... So that's something I really like is women pretending to be men pretending to be women.
Is it?
That extra level really does it for me.
Yeah, okay. Name another scenario in which you've witnessed that, and it's...
There's a movie in which Toni Collette is in where they are doing drag.
Connie and Carla.
Yeah. Yep. And that preview really did it for me.
It did it for me to such an extent that I wasn't able to watch the rest of the film. In a way, my mind was packed with the cocaine. My mind was a nostril packed with the cocaine.
Listen, a nasal cavity and yes. Like the sinus.
So you know it's packed all the way back into the sinuses, is it? Cocaine. It goes all the way in.
Well, I mean, have you ever had to rinse out your nostrils with one of those, like, water?
Never have. Never want to
tell you what,
myself.
you really learn a lot about the inside of your face by doing that. Because you go, oh, I'm just filling up some random cavity that's inside my face. And then it gets full. And then the water starts coming out the other nostril.
So you have sort of, the great caverns within the head.
Mm.
Does anyone ever smuggle anything in there? Man. I want to know if it's a smuggleable cavity. Is it? Yeah.
You'd probably talk weird. You know. I don't know.
I think you might just sound a bit nasal. And you know what? I reckon you could get it past the sniffer dogs because they'd never suspect another nose.
Mm.
They would, you know, they deify the nose. And I don't think dog would want to believe that a nose could go bad like that.
And I don't think you can actually smell a nose.
Is that right?
I think that's one of the quirks of the nose, is that the nose itself doesn't have a smell.
Well, you wouldn't want it to. I feel like we've talked about this in the past, possibly with regards to flavor, that neutral flavor should be mouth flavor. But if you were designing a nose, you wouldn't want a nose that smells because introduce a sampling error, you know, a systemic sampling error into your mechanism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It would make your results all skew-iff.
Is that a whiff joke?
Hey? Yeah.
Is that a whiff? Yeah, that's good. Sorry, I was distracted.
Do you know about the word skew whiff?
Well, what do you mean do I know about the word skew whiff?
Well, as in, you know that word, right?
Yeah.
Well, it has the word whiff in it.
Okay.
And we were talking about noses. It just feels like the kind of thing that you would appreciate.
Yeah, I do. I do, Alistair. I was just distracted. I wanted to check that my computer was still recording. And it was.
Thank God.
So it was all right. But I think you'll agree that that's one of the few permissible distractions.
So what is this sketch? This sketch is where I'm distracted because it looks like my recording is too big and bold.
Oh, it looks like mine's too small, but I think it's still working.
Great.
This will be fun for the audience members to find out at home.
They'll know by the quality of the recording.
I feel like they'll know.
They'll be hearing me peak.
Yeah.
And then they'll be hearing all the digital distortion in how much George has had to pump you up.
Last week's episode. Yep, you go.
No, you say.
Well, I was just going to say last week's episode, there was a section at the end where we had to cut out 2 minutes because your recording just stopped for a while. But fortunately, we waffle so much that you could cut 2 minutes out of the conversation and it made no difference.
Well, that may be the case for other episodes, but today it's all gold nonstop. So this sketch where somebody, is this somebody smuggling something in their nasal cavity? Because the sniffer dog respects the nose too much. I mean, I don't know how you would express this. Express the respect that a dog has. I mean, I think you could just have footage of people smelling noses, and that is itself. That is itself.
I mean, that feels like a beautiful piece of
cinema.
That is art. If you were to sniff a nose, now I don't know if anyone does this, but you could sort of 69 with your noses, right? Mm-hmm. And you just press your nostrils into their nostril openings, and you just breathe in and out through your noses.
You know what you should do? You should put like a piece of penne in your right nostril.
Yeah, great.
And they put a piece of penne in their left nostril.
It's almost like penne was designed specifically for nostril docking.
And then, you guys can lock each other in. Wait. I think it can't be right and left. I think you both have to put it in the same nostril.
Yeah, you're right, because you'll be facing each other. Yep.
That's right.
It's good to think through these logistics. And I think the best thing to do would be to put it pillow in the middle of the bed, okay, and you both sort of curl up, one at the top of the bed and one of you at the bottom of the bed. You place your heads on the pillow and you line up your nostrils in the middle of the bed, facing each other, obviously. And then you plug in with the penne. If anyone's doing this, or if any listeners to the show, if we got any couples who listen to the show, know, maybe before sex or just after, you know, while you're already together there and you're looking for some way to continue the connection, run to the kitchen, grab some penne.
I think we have at least one couple that listens. We've got
we do.
Karina and Fraser.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying you guys have to try this.
But
we're just saying that we know you're a couple.
Has named you on the show.
I mean, we're not saying you have to send us a photo of you docking nostrils with penne. You see, I'm in the sad situation in which I think my wife would think that this is too stupid to try.
That is really sad.
Well, there are some things.
It get to that point? You know, because at the start of a relationship, it feels like we'll connect anything to anything.
Well, you're trying to please the other person. You're trying to not lose them. You know? And if they say, let's dock nostrils with penne, you're going to say, you know what? You want to seem fun, you know? You want to seem like you're up for it.
Yeah. But then I feel like there's probably another peak later on, you know, maybe 30, 40, 50 years into a relationship where you're willing to try anything, you know, so it probably comes back around.
I was being unfair. I think that she would let me do that with her on my birthday.
I want to know, if you sucked in through your nose, right?
Yeah.
If somebody else was, could you sucked in through your nose, then through their nose, could you get air sort of coming from through their mouth and then up through that connection that those two systems have, right? So you could breathe, basically be breathing mouth air, but it's their mouth air, but through your nose.
Well, see, this is what the nose has longed for so long.
Mm.
You know, the nose has been trapped breathing in nose air for millennia, right?
And as we are all constrained by the limitations of our own world, you know, we're all trapped, and we all, I think, look and say that the grass is greener, or in this case, probably the gas is cleaner.
Yeah.
On the other side of the septum.
The only downside to doing it like this is that, of course, the mouth air is tainted somewhat by going through the other person's nose.
It is.
And the only way that you could not, that you could avoid that is by putting your nose directly to their mouth.
Yeah. And just.
But that seems so unhygienic in these times.
Nobody even puts their nose in somebody's mouth, do they? Like, that's not something anyone does.
There is that scene in the Batman movie with the Penguin where he does bite somebody's nose.
Really? The Penguin does?
Yeah, the Penguin. As Danny DeVito as the Penguin does bite someone really hard on the nose. While he himself is actually probably has the most biteable nose.
Yeah, that's really playing with fire, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You're giving people ideas that you don't want them to have.
don't even bring nose biting into the conversation. That's like bringing if you go into a risky scenario, if you take a gun, you're much more likely to, I don't know what I'm describing here, but you're much more likely to end up being shot with your own gun. And so if you bring nose biting to any kind of a confrontation, especially if you have such a chewable honker, it's just I wouldn't want to bring it up.
Now, Andy, I don't want to bring this up, but we are low on sketch ideas because I don't know if we've quite, with any of this cocaine stuff yet, if we've achieved. I think maybe neither of us know enough about cocaine, but I think the idea of being full or smuggling stuff in the nasal cavity.
Look, no, I think those are separate ideas, absolutely, Alistair. Being full of drugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
is a type of a type of abstinence,
Sure. Like, yeah.
You
so keeping your body at maximum drugs at all times.
At maximum drugs, that means you can't have more drugs.
Mm-hmm.
What is the problem with being addicted to drugs? You keep having more drugs.
Yeah.
But if you're full of drugs, you can't have more drugs, and therefore your addiction is cured, at least temporarily.
Until the drugs sort of get used up in your body.
Yes, but what if we invented a newer, more permanent form of heroin that the body can't get
sort of
rid
like
of?
An IUD, sort of like an IUD, but with
hey, okay,
but what it does,
very good.
But what it does is that it just kind of makes you feel like you're on heroin, or it is heroin, but it's just basically a piece of metal that's infused with heroin, sort of like a copper heroin alloy.
Exactly. Then the other one, which is smuggling things inside the nose because you can't smell a nose. Now that's a thing. But also, I think there's a sub sketch there, which is your footage of just people leaning in to smell a nose. I mean, I realize that there's a lot of things that are linked so far today, not least of which the nostrils that we've quite literally linked together. Yeah. But I think, I just want to see that close-up footage. It almost feels like a look around you kind of a sketch where they would just have people leaning in and sniffing each other's noses.
What do nose smell like? Yeah, it's very educational. And you don't see eyes, I don't think, and I don't think you see, you might see mouths, but I think it's been framed in such a way
so
it's just you're really getting nose smelling nose. I think a nose has a lot of personality when it's smelling, but outside of smelling, the nose remains remains pretty inactive in the expression business.
Well, you can flare those nostrils. I'd argue the nose does considerably more than the ears, which really do just sit there.
No, they do go up and down a little bit.
Mine don't.
There's that thing that happens when you're talking to people and you go, their ears just moved. And it's got something to do with like a scalp movement of some sort.
There are people who, like, you see those people who can just wiggle their scalps around.
Everyone in my family can do it except for me. Wiggle
really?
Their ears, yeah.
Oh, man.
I just have no idea what muscle you're contracting.
I bet they all get together at the Christmas dinner table, and they're all wiggling back and
forth. What happens. Everybody's wiggling, and there's wind coming off of their ears, and I'm just sitting there, breeze going over me. My hair is getting tussled.
They do it to bully you.
You know, a tear falls down my cheek, and that I feel that sort of that line of wetness get unbelievably cold because of the wind chill. The wind chill.
And then I think nostril docking, I think, is another idea.
You think
so? I think we've probably got five sketch ideas. Thank you and good night.
Wait, so nostril docking. All right, nostril docking.
Nostril docking? You hadn't even written down nostril docking.
Well, no, I just didn't feel like it was a sketch idea. But
it is. Of course it's a sketch idea. Alistair, I'm starting to wonder if you even know what a sketch idea is.
Well, I'm starting to wonder whether our audience wonders whether we know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I find smelling noses so funny. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, I mean, because what do? We do a lot of kissing, which is basically tasting mouths, and it feels like there's, you know, if that was kissing, is kissing one of the bases? Is that first base?
That's got to be one of the bases. It must be. I think these are the bases, right?
Right.
A kind regard. that's first base.
Yeah. Okay.
A good-natured question. I think that's second base. Third base
is a follow-up inquiry.
is receiving an answer. Yeah. And a home run. What was the one that you said? Kissing on the mouth. There you go.
Kissing on the mouth. Yes.
Or cheek.
But I think maybe in between the two, in between receiving an answer and kissing on the mouth, I think there might be smelling noses.
Yeah, it's got to be in there. I mean, if the base system, you know, if the base system is actually a spectrum, then everything is on there.
Yes.
And it's probably
an infinite number.
I think maybe the one that I've got is an exponential base system in which a lot happens between one side of the home run plate and the end of the home run plate.
Okay.
So the sort of the corner of that plate for me is a kiss on the cheek. And then as you kind of get further in, it's like
slide across.
Yeah, you're sort of your mouth moves across the cheek onto the mouth.
Yeah.
And then very quickly tongues are entering, and then I guess putting fingers in the mouth is there too. You know,
while you're kissing.
I think so. I think eventually, you know, I mean, if everything's on there, I think eventually you've got to get both hands into each other's mouths.
Yeah, I mean, with just
enough room for your tongue to escape and touch the other person's tongue.
I think to keep it as a kiss. Less interesting than, you know, the exact things that are on the spectrum in between those two points are for me the challenge of deciding which ones are more or less intimate. You know?
Sure.
Because there's such a huge range of complexity that
I would like to hear I'm sure you have a somewhat surprising opinion on one aspect of this. Is there a particular example you're thinking of?
You know, I wish I could supply with something really great, Alistair. But I'm thinking, you know, having fingers from two different hands.
Yeah.
you know, both
from two different people, or
no, fingers from both your hands in the other person's mouth while you're kissing. Yeah. I would argue is more intimate than most other forms of sexual penetration. Right? Like, in terms of the progress of your relationship, I would strongly argue that nobody has done fingers from two hands in the mouth before they've done almost everything else that is a traditional part of the lovemaker's palette.
Sure, you know? Absolutely.
And that, Andy, to me, puts it further along.
You remember that I've put at least a number of fingers into your mouth, right?
Oh, God.
Which in your... I mean, not whilst kissing, but...
Not whilst kissing, but...
But to you, you're like, yeah, that's more intimate than anal.
Yeah, that's right. And I have held your lips in my hands.
Yeah.
Right, and held them open for you.
But that's why... That's why we don't need to do any of that other stuff, Andy. That's why there's no tension at all between us. And because we've gone as far as they can go.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
All the way to the other side of home base.
Is this anything?
Yeah, I think
I feel like...
It's like there's a fifth base.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the fact that there is a limited number of bases is what makes it's, you know, it's almost a Bitcoin kind of thing, right? There's scarcity, and that's what makes those bases, four bases, so valuable. You know, appear to have their cachet.
Absolutely.
And
you know what's even more intimate than having both hands in the mouth? Is if one of those hands has like one of those like weird leather sort of bracelets that somebody wears at all times and will kind of definitely have a sort of sweaty smell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that will be right up against your nose as they're kind of wrist deep in your gullet. Two hands completely gone.
Yeah,
you're storing them in your cheeks like a hamster.
Mm-hmm.
Like a hamster.
Is that if you've been building up to that? That punchline this whole time, haven't you, Alistair?
I enter every episode with five punchlines, and then I just have to...
A list of five puns.
I have to... I mean, that's a really interesting idea, Andy, but like the idea that... Oh, I guess that's a game I've seen done, but like the idea that we would go in and challenge ourselves, or somebody challenges us to get a certain punchline in, and then we have to work the conversation there.
Hmm. Well, I've definitely, done that as a conversational gambit, more on like, you know, little comedy panel shows and that sort of thing, but like where you think of a joke when the conversation could go in a particular direction, and then fuck it doesn't go in that direction, and then you have to drag the whole thing around, stop the ship, change the direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get in your little joke that, you know, plays to near silence. But
sure. But then the fun is in seeing them take that ship that's ground to a halt and get it chugging again.
Yeah.
And that's what the fun of comedy is.
Mm. Halt. We don't use the word halt much anymore. Do you think it's because it sounds a bit like something a Nazi would say?
Hmm.
Is it a German word? Halt. Halt.
Halt.
Right?
Look.
Like I reckon once upon a time, halt would have been right up there with stop. But I think it's very possible that the Second World War, halt became tainted by Nazi associations.
Halt is absolutely a German word.
There you go.
Because I looked it up and it didn't even give me the English dictionary meaning. It gave me a Google Translate straight away. I use Google, by the way. I don't know what you guys use.
Google is pretending it doesn't even... Google is so worried about their slogan, don't be evil. It pretends it doesn't even know the word halt. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is it? What are you speaking German to me? I don't know what that is. I'll have to translate that for you.
It is of a Germanic origin. And it doesn't seem... It's actually gone up a little bit, Andy, in recent use.
But anyway, I wonder what that's attached to.
But that
Nazis.
All right, but that, I mean, I think that could just be that there's more people in the world. It's probably not gone up as much as there is more people.
I don't think. I think they do it as a proportion of things, Alistair.
Well, it says
not
mentions.
Like, not
it
all the mentions. Usage of all those words just grows with the growth in population.
I think it could.
That wouldn't be very useful. Data. No? I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it could. I mean, look. Who knows?
Speaking of shoehorning punchlines in, Alistair, what does the? I've got this new technology that helps dentists to understand what their patients are saying while they're operating in their mouths, and there's all that saliva and liquid and stuff in there.
Really? I hear it's called Gargle Translate.
No, it's Gurgle Translate. Sorry, Alistair. I don't know what you're talking about. Yours is stupid.
What do you think, there's a connection between gargle and gurgle?
No, totally different origins, the words. It's amazing. It's an example of convergent evolution, like the dolphin and the shark.
I mean, they both are perfect words for what they mean.
You're right.
Which is roughly, you know, they mean roughly the same thing. But
yeah, I think gargle is more feels like a something that you do with intent, whereas gurgle, you know, it feels like you could.
Do it in a tent, maybe whilst dying.
Yeah, well, but yes, it feels more involuntary, gurgling. Like, you know, if somebody was drowning, you would say they're making a gurgling sound, but I don't think you would say they're making a gargling sound.
Well,
that feels very insensitive.
I'm drowning. I mean, no, like, I think it's quite funny. You go, they're making a gargling sound. Come help. They're making a gargling sound. I think they're drowning. A gargling sound? A person who's drowning would not make a gargling sound. They would make a gurgling sound. You idiot. Well, whatever. Come and see. And then he goes,
this is the
help,
dictionary
help,
cunt
help.
From the start.
Yeah. Help.
I want to know what at the end there, what are you picturing the person seeing?
Somebody in the water having trouble sort of like keeping their head above water.
Right.
But then they're kind of, you know, they're kind of going under a little bit and then coming up and going, help, help. And then they go, then they open their mouth, point it towards the sky and go, <"Garrr." laughs>
Right, because I was wondering if it was somebody, you bring the person who said, surely they'd be gurgling, not gargling, you bring them in and you take them into a bathroom where someone is standing in front of the mirror saying, help, help, and then gargling on some mouthwash or something like that.
No, but I think somebody gargling.
What
gargling
is,
in water.
I know. Yours is very good. But what gargling mouthwash is it's an attempt to do to microdose with drowning.
Mm-hmm.
It's
sure.
Targeted medicinal drowning.
That's right. With ocean water, usually, often.
Well, we even use the salt, don't we?
That's right.
To to role kill play. The bacteria.
What would it be like to be, you know, say, involved in a mutiny out at sea?
Yes.
And, you know, obviously I've got a sore throat due to the poor health that I would have. Check. I got that because I got that tonsillitis.
Hmm. I think what a, you know, how they must have discovered that was when they were sort of trying to drown people at sea, drown the old captain or whatever, because they've had a mutiny. And then they just do it a little bit just to threaten him, right? And then they bring him back into the ship after he's been gurgling there in the water for a while. And his ulcers have totally healed up. And everybody's commenting on it. I reckon they would have a lot of ulcers as well, probably from...
Sure, of course.
Stuff.
And so while he's drowning, they're commenting on how much it seems like his pain has eased from...
The mouth, you know, yeah. The mouth ulcer pain has gone down significantly on the big pain chart.
You know, it actually seemed quite debilitating earlier, but now he seems to be doing quite well. I mean, the quality of his shouting voice has increased dramatically.
Anyway,
I wonder
sorry,
if it's the salt water.
That's great voice work you're doing there, Alistair. We don't do a lot of accents on this show.
We're thinking about doing a lot normally. More. Dar, I think at the end there, I kind of turned into an something bad Irish, but you know.
But that was fine. I was picturing like this ship where they've press ganged, you know, people from all different nationalities and dragged them on board, all different nationalities.
Wow. Pirate,
Irish. The full
equatorial
Guinea experience. Ah, my favorite of all the Guineas.
Really? Not you don't like Papua?
Oh, you're right. I said it. Thinking that there weren't any other Guineas, and then
I think there is just New Guinea as well.
New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, West Guinea, and Guyana.
I mean, there are so many Guineas. Where did Guineas? Oh, no, wait.
I don't know, because Guinea is also...
Papua New Guinea is New Guinea. Okay.
Right. But there's also the Guinea, which, you know, was the British unit of currency. Fuck, they had a boner for units of currency, didn't they? They had so many different words for all the currencies.
They loved a unit.
Yeah.
So Guinea is a west coastal country in West Africa.
Right.
Formerly known as French Guinea. But did they conquer places? Is that why there's a lot of
Guinea? French?
No, not the French. I know the French did.
Right.
But like is New Guinea related to Guinea?
I don't think the people of Guinea conquered Papua New Guinea.
Okay. That could have been the French.
That's what you're asking.
It could have been the French that did that.
I think let's go back to the root of this whole thing. And say it's probably...
I was thinking like, it'd be great if there was, you know, other peoples who had been colonialists. And I'm sure there are examples.
Spread some of the shame around.
I'm sure there are some examples, but it's not common enough.
Aren't enough. And what we need to do is invest a lot of research and, dare I say, even if necessary, some seed capital into finding, and if not, creating some non-white colonial races.
Of course.
Is it a little late for this? Sure, but better late than nothing.
Sure, but then you could see the problem of a bunch of white guys training other peoples to colonize other countries as just being a further example of the evil of white people. Especially if they're doing it just to alleviate their guilt.
Oh, no. You're saying I can't colonialize my way out of this colonialization problem.
If only
the solution is more colonialism.
Yeah, if only I could take over the country and make them colonize other places.
Look, when all you have is hegemony, then pretty soon everything starts to look like... Look, I don't know what hegemony means.
A bunch of beads that you offer different people.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Andy, I think we have enough ideas here for us to go to...
Oh, that's good.
Three words from a listener.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know about this, Andy, but we have Patreon supporters, and it's magnificent. Mm. Every single one of them is an angel. An angel on
Earth. To an individual, they are all angelic. Little absolutely. Cherubs.
Absolutely. One of them is sent in three words as a suggestion for a sketch idea. And today's...
This is news to me, but I'll go along with it.
Today's listener is Andrew Smyrniotis. Now,
Andrew Smyrniotis!
Look, I may be ruining their name. I think I might be saying it like it's you... have said your first name in full.
Yeah.
And then realized that you were trying to hide your identity. And then came up with a made up last name that ended in my son's first name.
I think.
Because you were like, you got.
A lot of the time when you have to come up with a name, the temptation is to, you feel like, you know, when you're on the spot, you feel like you have to invent an entirely new name.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't. You can just choose one of the existing names. In fact, that's probably the safest thing to do.
No. But, and then what you did, this was what you're thinking when you were saying Smyrniotis. You said you went Smyr, and you went, uh-oh. You went Smyrn, and you went, uh-oh, that's starting to sound Russian, like Smirnoff.
Yeah.
I'm going to pivot now, and you went Smyrni, and then you went... you went Smyrnio, and you went, this is starting to sound too Italian for my liking now. And I don't think I could pull off Italian if there were any questions. And then you went, I just got to think of a name. And then you used your O entrance point to go into Otis, which is a name that you know from my son. And you were like, that's it. I think I saved this. Because no one can argue that Otis isn't a name. Andrew Smyrniotis.
Well, Andrew Smyrniotis. Thank you. And I hope you... Maybe that's how you got your name.
Maybe that's how you got your name.
Let us know if Alistair was right.
Let us know. Also, I'm sorry if I just wrote it down wrong and I'm just absolutely butchering your name. But anyway, so Andrew sent in these words, Andy. I don't know if you want to guess... But I can give you a hint because the words, there's at least one word here and possibly all three that are in a way related to something that we've talked about today. So we've definitely said at least one of these words during this episode.
Shakespeare.
No. The first word is pirates.
Okay.
Yeah. The second word is pirating.
Okay.
And the third word is, do you want to try to guess the third word?
Piracy. Pirates. Pirate.
Andy, you guessed a word right. It is piracy. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
You actually guessed a word right. And
thanks.
I mean, you know, there was some guidance in there, but Andy, there's a lot of words in the world.
Yeah.
You could have said dog, you know?
You're right. I kind of wish I had now.
No, I mean...
I think it would have been funnier. But great words,
we have
Andrew.
Pirates pirating piracy.
Mm.
Very fun to say. And so I guess if you were just to think about what this is, just at face value... These are pirates
for us there.
Who are stealing the idea of taking things illegally.
Mm. Well, and I imagine if you were the first pirate out there on the high seas taking things illegally, you know, stopping people, saying, give us your stuff.
But everybody else, all the other pirates, are doing things so honestly.
Yes.
And paying for things and saying, what's this big thing of gold worth? All right, well, I'll see if I can...
Well, it's worth the equivalent weight of gold.
Yes.
I'll see if I have that.
Ah, yes. Lucky enough, I was working in the fields earlier this year, and I've collected enough gold to pay for this big chest of gold.
And
then that person, maybe they encounter this other person who is at sea. He has just his own boat. He's by himself, but he's got a pretty big ship, this bad one. And then he encounters the good ones, the ones who are like everybody, all the other pirates at the time. And the bad one says, hey, do you guys want to do this neat thing? We'll take our little rescue boats that we have, those little ones. We'll all get in those and have let's get in our wooden dinghies and have a little floating regatta of some sort in our dinghies. It'll just be neat. We can drink rum. It'll just be something different. And they're like, fuck it, this guy's cool. I don't know. Let's try it. You know, I like drinking rum. Any excuse. It's good to have a little regatta. Anyway, he steals their boat while they're in that thing and sails off. He's sailing two boats. You know, like those people who steal a bike and they're riding their bike by holding the other one by the handle. And it seems crazy, right? But he's doing that, but he's just got a foot in each ship.
Fucking two boats over here.
Old two boats.
I love it.
Crewing it. And he's got a bit of rope set up so that he can... I don't know.
He's doing the whole thing.
Doing the whole thing. Well, he's the first man to ever steal, at least in the pirate world. And then those guys, while they're in their little regatta, lucky they've been left with a regatta. Am I using the right word here? Regatta?
Do you mean flotilla?
I mean, I do mean
like a regatta is kind of like a sort of a competitive sail boat or rowing racing day.
I mean, they could be... yes. Well, I mean, it still consists of a series of boats or yachts.
It does, yeah.
But it consists of a series of boat or yacht races.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, what I mean is a flotilla, but there's another word for flotilla. Man, if I could go to thesaurus right now. This is not important. But
does it sound similar to?
Yeah, it's got a little bit of similarity to it.
Maybe regatta is the word is also can just be you're just floating about. I could be wrong, Alistair, but I thought it was a race.
Well, there's also an armada.
Armada, is that the one you wanted?
I don't think so.
No,
there's also Argosy here, but I don't know what that is.
Anyway.
Now, is that so then those people start to steal?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, what we've got here is ourselves a little bit... But then I think what would happen is that the guy who was the original pirate would be annoyed at other people copying his idea of being a pirate, right? And he would try to stop them. Like, so stealing things, that's my idea, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and they
you know what he would do? He would be floating around in his two ships, right?
Mm.
And he would come across a bunch of people who are in their own boats on their little dinghies. And he'd be like, hey, and he's like, I'm going to steal those dinghies. And he goes, what are you guys doing? And they said, oh, some other guys in some dinghies. We were sailing past them in our big ship and they took our ship by offering this regard. He goes, hey, that's my idea. And then he goes, well, I'm going to go hunt these people down. And I'm not sure what he does once he finds them. But that's how, you know, at least the whole thing can be linked together. I mean, it's almost a film now.
It is almost a film. Like, it feels a little bit almost like, not that I've seen it, but the movie, The Invention of Lying, with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, but
but with piracy.
But imagine that with pirates.
But at the on the high seas.
It's on the high seas, yeah. And
so it'll be a lot more expensive to film.
It's the invention of piracy.
I like going into a movie studio and saying, "You guys like The Invention of Lying? Well, that, but massively more expensive. Like that, but you're taking a huge risk."
It's like The Invention of Lying meets Pirates of the Caribbean meets Waterworld.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you say?
I think what was I going to say? Oh yeah. I was just going to riff further on that thing where we've already expressed that idea very neatly, Alistair, very neatly expressed. But yes, someone who thinks that they have the right to protect the concept of stealing things is very good.
But also,
I might even throw into the mix the very idea of trying to copyright the idea of copyright infringement. That was my idea.
Yeah, no, that's a cool. Well, that's the thing is that once you get to this point of how to once like he goes and finds them, what does he do then? Because that's really where it is. He realizes that he's got to protect his own idea, and because that was his advantage as a pirate, that was his niche. And so they've taken away a lot of his business.
Yes, yeah, and also I think once there's when there's only one pirate, it's fine, but once there's a lot of pirates around, then people start to put extra cannons on their ships to protect themselves. They take more, swords and crew, and they have better protected ships, and it becomes this whole sort of arms race kind of thing, when really you want to be the only pirate. That would be the best, being the only pirate. Nobody's going to bother protecting themselves if there's only one pirate.
Yeah,
and you get all the rich pickings, I guess.
Absolutely.
It's like being a coronavirus. If there was only one little coronavirus molecule going around, infecting people, having a great time, going over to somebody else, having a great time there as well, it would be fine.
It would be heaven.
It would be heaven. No one would be inventing a vaccine for that.
No, you're right. That's right. Now we're after it. Andy, I think that's everything that we need. That's all our sketch ideas. Shall I take us through the ideas?
Alistair, I'd love that.
We've got a dictionary cunt heckling Shakespeare. That's not a word. That's not a word either.
Then we've got the dictionary there.
Then we've got the full of drugs method of abstinence from drugs. So you jam pack all your nostrils and I guess your stomach filled with sort of drugs that you take.
Maybe even your veins. Like nasally. I'm sure that you can. Liquids can be at a saturation point for certain in terms of their ability to absorb things. You can put so much salt into water that you can't put any more salt in. Who's to say you can't do the same thing with blood and heroin?
Well, no one's to say that.
Thank you.
Maybe it would be crazy to not say that. Then we got smuggling in the nasal or sinus cavity. I mean, I think that's just an idea. We haven't elaborated on it, but I think
it could be down at the sniffer dog training facility. What we don't like to tell anybody is that these guys have a bit of a blind spot.
And then you also get the drug guys kind of going, look, no one ever checks the nasal cavity. That's where you put your bags.
I feel like we might have had covered a little bit of this territory on the podcast once before.
Yeah.
I could
picture
things.
Like somebody just taking individual capsules of, that have drugs in them and just kind of slowly loading their nasal cavity up with them.
Yeah. I think you could also construct a sort of prosthetic false bottom to your belly button, like a false floor in a box or something like that.
Sure.
It looks like that's the bottom of your belly button, but some people have a really deep belly button.
Oh, yeah.
And then they fill up all the back bit of it.
Yeah, I guess if you just had something that was very potent and powerful.
Mm.
Like, yeah, false bottom in your belly button.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like, you know, people, these people, they look in belly buttons every single day. You know? They're not going to be fooled. But they're going to go, they're going to spot a false bottom a mile away.
Well, now that all the TV industry is shutting down, we're going to have a lot of very skilled people in the prosthetics business.
You're not suggesting putting a fake ass in there, are you?
I'm a fake butthole.
Put a fake butthole in your belly button. All right, we got nostril docking, obviously. We got smelling noses. This is all part of the nostril section of the episode. Then we've got the fifth base is putting both hands into the other person's mouth. We got drowning person is gargling. No, they're not. They'd be gurgling. And then it turns out that they are gargling. And then we have a pirates pirating piracy, which we've I've just written it down as the three words.
Transcribed word for word.
Thank you
very
much.
I mean, when you're given something that's that good.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes I feel like I actively avoid going for the sketch idea that is there. But I mean, sometimes it's just nice just seeing what it's like when you elaborate on it.
Yeah. That's right.
That is right, isn't it?
That is right, Alistair. That's what we did. And it was nice. I had a good time.
Bling, 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 bling.
Thank you so much for listening to Turn the Thing Down. God, we appreciate it.
Gosh, we do.
God, we do. Gosh, gosh darn it. We appreciate it out the wazoo. And then back in the wazoo.
Yeah, and then
nothing
out
ever
again.
Goes in the wazoo. It's only out the wazoo.
Oh yeah, I'd put things in my wazoo.
Yeah. Okay. I got a false bottom in my wazoo.
Thank you very much for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Two and Tank. You can. I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
You can still get magma
at
sospresents.com. It's a great way to watch us do a show that we've written and performed live for many, many nights and refined and cut out as many shit bits as we could.
And we love that you would do that if you want.
Yeah. You can also review us or support us on Patreon. There's been a few people supporting us on Patreon recently. Thank you ever so much.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's going to be a new Sci-Fi Try Guys this month.
Yeah, we're going to do Sci-Fi Try Guys this month. And I think that's all we have to say for today. So thank you very much. And
we
love
you. Thank you.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.